Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is May 22nd, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both at McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/22. And if you head over to the website, you'll find that we gave it a little bit of a facelift. So hope you enjoy the new format and give us some feedback on it.
And subscribe to the email list.
Of course, always do that. So since it sounds like he's raring to get into this, I'm going to hand it over to Slappy to talk about our topic for this episode.
Yeah, thank you, Rollo. And thank you, everyone, again for listening this week. Today, we're going to talk about something that I think comes up a lot in conversation. If Rollo and I are talking to people who, for lack of a better term, we'll say are statists. We'll talk about something, you know, bad laws, or we'll make the point that police officers or anyone in law enforcement, if they disagree with a law or think the law is immoral, they should not enforce it. And oftentimes we get the objection that, well, that's why we have a court system and a jury of your own peers. The police officers are required to do what the law says and they let the court figure it out. We don't think that's a really strong answer, do we, Rollo?
Nope.
So I'm going to pass it over to Rollo. Just give us your initial thoughts on that, or what do you normally say to someone who says, well, they'll have their day in court and that's where they'll figure it out. Let the cops do their job.
Well, first of all, it's a pretty crummy thing to say, like, oh, it's actually on you to go and have to spend all the time and resources and energy to settle something that you were at no fault in, apparently.
You know, let's give the example. Well, no, yeah, just continue. Sorry for interrupting.
But on the bigger scale, it's, well, one, if you're not doing anything wrong, why should you have to go along? But more importantly, and I know that people are going to say, well, you know, what are you going to do? It's the cops acting the way he is, and if you're really in the right, just do what you got to do to you know, take care of it while you're with the police officers. You don't want to escalate it and have him to resort to some bad amount of force, because if you're saying that he's in the wrong, then who knows what he's going to do. But, you know, that's why we have the criminal justice system and you get to settle it there, like you're saying. But I don't think the system is really set up for that, at least for the innocence of the average citizen.
They always say there's a presumption of innocence until proven guilty, correct?
Yes, that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the incentive structure and how the courts are structured with who's there, and who they report to, who their employers are, then you really start to question how it could even be considered a fair system in the first place. So first of all, even going back to the situation where you're with the police officer, he's legally allowed to lie to you.
That is true.
Throughout the entire process. So that's kind of jacked up right there to begin with. So let's take it away from your interactions with the police officer. Let's say you're arrested or whatever, you're taken to court. All right. So what's the court system? You've got a judge, you've got the prosecutor, and then you've got the police officer who's going to be the witness against you. What do they all have in common?
Well, they have the same employer.
Yes, they do. So,
well, another thing that's just kind of crazy, and I know this is a small peanuts, whatever. I had a speeding ticket years ago, and excuse me, I went to fight it in court, and an attorney called me, said if I don't fight it, I'm going to get points, and this was a long time ago. I was still in college, or right out of college, actually. And I was thinking, well, I was speeding. I mean, he got me. And a defense attorney called me and said, no, you have to fight this. trust me, withdraw your plea, plead not guilty. We'll go fight it. It'll get knocked down the 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. All right, sure, whatever. Sounds good to me. I didn't want my insurance premiums going up, that whole deal. So we fight it. We walk in, and I'm nervous because I'd never been in court as the accused or charged with a crime, or I don't know. I'd never had to defend myself in court, put it that way. And so I was nervous, but I walk in, I see the attorney I hired, and he shakes hands with the cop. How you doing? You know, been here before. They all know each other. Talked to the judge, came back, said, I got it down to 5 over the speed limit, which is nice, I guess, but it shows you that they all know each other. They're all working together every day. I was guilty as sin. He got me. I admitted to it. And I mean, guilty of violating the rules for sure. And if I'm so dangerous and such a criminal, they knocked it down to 5 for no reason. So I guess that kind of would be an argument against what you're saying, because they let me off really easily, because they all know each other. So how about that?
Well, that's kind of a not a good system either, because
it's terrible. Well, it worked out for me, but I agree. I mean,
well,
if
not
telling you,
did it, because you ended up paying a lawyer for.
I did, the difference is I get points on my license. My insurance goes way up. So yeah, I did have to take time off of work, and it's true. I mean, you know, I took time off of work. I had to go down there. I didn't even say or do anything. I sat there. And I didn't get points, so shouldn't I be happy?
I mean, you're better off. I mean, yeah, you're better off that you didn't get points, but it seems like it's a system where they're subsidizing the lawyer.
But do you think it seems a little arbitrary? I didn't hurt anyone. I didn't do anything. I wasn't dangerous to anybody.
Well,
still had to go down there and do all that stuff.
I got a speeding ticket, and I didn't hire a lawyer, and I talked to the cop before I went in, and he dropped it there for me. So
nice.
I only lost a day of work in the smaller fine that I had to pay.
Well, not me.
Yeah.
Not my 20-year-old self or 22-year-old self, whatever I was.
But if you look at what's going on, so what do the police officers care about? They care about, you know, getting people, and if a crime happens, let's say a crime happens.
Just doing their job, right?
Right.
They got to enforce the law. So whatever the law says, they enforce. Is that what you're getting at?
Not right. I mean, let's say a violent crime actually happens.
Okay.
And they arrest someone. Do they? I mean, how much do they care that they got the right person?
I don't know. I would assume they care.
Right. Well, they care in a little bit, as in.
Put it this way. Well. Yeah, I mean, they care because they probably take some pride in their work and want to be a good cop. Would you agree with that or no?
Yes.
Now, where they don't care is that, what is the penalty for them getting the wrong guy?
Severe, isn't it? They probably lose their job, right?
I mean, they get charged with kidnapping, correct?
Yeah.
So there's it's almost like a rather be safe than sorry attitude.
Right. So, okay, so they get you in and you're on trial, and the defense, the district attorney is prosecuting against you. And what does he care about? Every time, a district attorney, I don't think most of them want to stay in that job forever. So a lot of them are trying to move up.
Have political aspirations?
Yes, they're running for office or something. And if you've ever heard an advertisement for a campaign for someone who is currently a district attorney or was a district attorney trying to move up, what do you always hear them talking about?
Yeah, better question would be, if you haven't heard one, what are you doing? How are you avoiding these commercials?
I know. Yeah.
No, but they always talk about it. We arrested 900,000 drug users or whatever.
Got, you know.
Keeping drugs off the street, keeping our children safe.
This many convictions and...
more life sentences than any other DA.
Right, and, you know, 90% conviction rate. That's excellent, getting criminals off the street. But how many of them actually committed the crime? I mean, for them, they don't care as much. I mean, I'm sure
they don't care at all. Their goal, it's a game to attorneys, and you can talk to attorneys, and a lot of them will tell you this. You know, the DA, it's a game. No matter who's up there, they're not trying to get the truth. They're trying to put the guy in jail.
Exactly. And so you've got, you know, the judge who they all know, and he's, again, what happens to him if he puts the wrong person behind bars?
Depending on what district you're in, if you're running for election, you get to hear about it.
Right. So that brings us up to kind of a little bit of a greater point, is that every once in a while you hear these cases where they go back and look at information and they realize, oh, wait, this guy isn't actually guilty.
Happens all the time.
Yes. But how often or how hard are they going to actually try to like look back at cases? Because let's say, because there are a lot of innocent people behind bars, and it's a very terrible thing. But every once in a while, it's okay for them to redo a case and bring someone who was sitting in a prison cell for a while outside and give his freedom back. Because it's kind of like a feel good story, and it shows that, hey, there is integrity behind this system. The justice system, you know, they're doing their job and they're very dispassionate, but sometimes not all the information's there, or something that's unforeseeable and unable to be accounted for by the criminal justice system allowed for an innocent man to go behind bars. But do you actually think that they're going to do their diligence to make sure to review everything all the time? Because what happens if there are a lot of people do realize there's a lot of cases where innocent people are getting thrown in prison? Doesn't that really throw a wrench in people's belief and trust in it?
Yes, their trust in the system would be crushed if they went back and reviewed these cases. But really, I mean, and that's what people think that our government is doing. They're keeping you safe, looking for the truth, getting bad people off the streets. But it's really, they're just collecting convictions.
Right. It's a conviction farm, really, is all it is. And they're all friends. They all know each other, so.
Pick up a newspaper if they still exist, or go online to your local news and just read the quotes from the DAs, no matter what case it is. At least in this area, I'm thinking of some specific ones who I know personally who just put awful quotes in the paper. Just, this scumbag should be away for years on like a drug charge or gun possession, or no one was hurt. But they have to be, they have to grab headlines. They have to put these insane statements out there to look tough.
Right, because when they are running for office, they can play the clips of themselves talking, and they can say, tough on crime.
Yep.
And people love that, because no one likes a criminal. But if you take a step back and look at what these people are being called criminals for, and it's like, people might second guess that.
Right. With all the people in jail, how many do you think really need to be isolated from society?
Right, and for how many of them does it make it actually worse for them?
Right, but even if your defense is, okay, so it happens sometimes, but not often, shouldn't there be some repercussion for that innocent person you put in jail for 20 years? Lose their whole life, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think you're saying that you should be necessarily criminally held accounted for it. As in saying that you put them in jail or something, unless you can prove that there was some malintent or something. But maybe if they're getting a lot of bad convictions, maybe they're not good at their job, and maybe they shouldn't do it.
We should get them out.
Right. But will that ever happen in a socialized justice system? Just like anything else. I mean, look at any other government institution or anything the government manages, and they mess it all up. What kind of accountability is there for that? Usually nothing. And so they're free to just make mistake after mistake after mistake with relative impunity. But in a market, if any market provided good or service, if they don't do a good job, they lose their business. It's just, if you went to your corner store to buy milk and the milk was always sour, they're not going to be selling milk for very long. So why should we hold, why is it more important where you get your milk from than it is whether or not you're going to sit in a prison cell for the rest of your life?
Yeah, the market does such a great job in so many areas. And I think you agree that this issue of, and these decisions to put people away in a cage for a long period of time is just too important not to be left up to the market.
Exactly. And I know people like to think that, I mean, you know, there's, you go to a court and it's the really nice building and it's got the statue of the woman with the blindfold and the scale, and it's supposed to stir up emotion and all this good stuff. But it's really just a bunch of pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm. There's, you have a guy sitting in a robe a little higher than everyone else. Why is he wearing that robe? Why does he sit higher than everyone?
It's to have that illusion of, you know, grandeur and power. But really, so I understand that people want to trust it and people want to believe that it's good, but man, you just take a couple minutes to think about the incentive structure that's there, that the DA is just out there to get convictions, and that's really it. Now, I'm sure there's some that might have some integrity, but that just because one or two guys out of a whole bunch have it doesn't make the rest of them good or right. And you really want to hope that you're getting that one guy who has integrity? Is that, I know I don't. I want a system where, like, it's going to the corner store buying a gallon of milk.
Well, yeah. Exactly. You're right.
I guarantee you, and I say this with complete confidence, you are way more likely to get a false conviction for any given court case than you are to buy a gallon of milk at the grocery store and it come back sour. Like, that's a slam dunk.
I actually don't think I've ever bought expired milk, sour milk, right, in my life.
Yeah.
We buy a lot of milk.
Milk tends to go bad pretty quickly and easily.
Pretty quickly, yep.
So if only we could hold our criminal justice system up to the same standards as we do milk. Yeah. And other things that we just take for granted. And that's, it's funny because a lot of people who might say that they're libertarian, but more of the minarchist flavor, will say things like, well, I think the market should handle most things, but, you know, for things like the courts and the police and everything, we need a central authority, a government to manage that. And it just doesn't make any sense to say that, because those are kind of the, like, rights enforcements. That's really the most important thing, because if you can have some institution that can just railroad your rights, then what good are your rights? So I would much rather have the market system where people are judged based on how well they do their job, that is, enforce rights.
Well, one quick story, one anecdote maybe, but you were there. You and I were talking to an attorney, this was a couple months ago, and we were just talking about kind of I'll call it our philosophy, but like a libertarian philosophy. I'm talking about holding individuals responsible for their actions. And in this case, we're talking about police officers. And yes, if there's a law that you believe is immoral, you should not enforce it. We mentioned this earlier in this episode, but we were saying this to this attorney. And he said exactly what that response. Well, that's the beauty of the system. But, you know, because the cop puts the guy in jail for possession of marijuana, and the court can decide whether he's guilty or not. And if you don't like it, we have to change the laws. But what does that do? So you have a police officer enforcing it, you have a judge making a decision, and you have legislators making laws. And the cop saying, I'm just doing my job following the law. And the judge is saying, well, I have to judge based on the law. And the legislators say that was the law on the books. There's no accountability anywhere in the system. And that, I think, is required. That lack of accountability is required for the system to continue. Because if anybody had to take responsibility for doing what they do, I don't know how they could live with themselves.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, and that's what they do. You'll have your day in court, and the judge says, well, you're here because you did something, and, you know, the law says you have to required mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years. So I'm putting you in a cage for 10 years. Not my fault. That's the law.
Yeah, kind of out of my hands.
Nobody's fault. Everyone washes their hands of it from top to bottom. And there's no accountability, and no one is to blame. And we act like this government and the system of laws is some kind of all-powerful being that's over top of us, like putting these laws down there. And it's just not true. And it's killing us, literally, in some scenarios.
It absolutely is.
And so really what I want to get across in this episode is that every single individual person should think about what is right and wrong and what they know and act accordingly, and not do something because someone told you to.
Exactly. Because it's funny, because in any sort of private business, to say that, well, my boss told me to do it and that's why I did it, that's my defense, would never be considered a defense.
That would be a terrible defense.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine just doing something that I knew was wrong because someone at work told me to do it. And
it's true. Look, we can look at the laws and we can say there's bad laws on the book and the laws need to be changed. But why should that prevent you from doing what's right?
Exactly. I mean, we don't need the law to tell us what's right and wrong. If you do, then your conscience, your ability to reason between right and wrong is basically the level of a child. If you only do something because you're told that's what you should do.
It's like the story we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the pizza delivery guy who was shot in West Philadelphia. And, of course, the city of Philadelphia paid almost $4.5 million to him and then said the cops did nothing wrong. They're still on the streets. And then they said they changed their policy afterwards. So, obviously, they did do something wrong if you changed the policy and you paid out $4.5 million. But why do those people, those police officers, why are they required to follow those stupid rules that they know are wrong? They know you can't fire 14 shots into a car. Why would you do that? And of course they say they followed policy. That was procedure. Well, that's stupid, and you shouldn't be allowed to do that. You shouldn't be able to do that and be okay and still have no consequences. I think that's terrible. I think you should think for yourself and realize, all right, this guy's getting away. Maybe we should just write down his license plate and follow him for a bit. They could have followed him back to the pizza store.
Because and you know what's funny is that I know in Philadelphia, because I used one of my internships when I was in college, I worked with a former Philadelphia police officer, and he said that when he was about ready, you know, in his car and trying to pull someone over, if they sped away, it was the rule within the department that you had to pull over, say what happened, and you had to get permission to engage in a pursuit. Because if it was just someone rolling a stop sign or something and they sped off, you know, it creates a huge public hazard to have a high speed car chase in a neighborhood somewhere. So they say, and it makes sense to say it's not worth the risk of one, the police officer or the guy who rolled the stop sign or did whatever. And then three, and probably most importantly, the people who are just out on the street minding their own business. So if you've seen a guy commit a crime or something, and their policy is, I guess, within reason, it's been years since I had this conversation, so I don't know all the nuances and details of it. But the gist of what I'm saying is what the rule was. You know, if that's the rule there, how is it that just shooting into a car just the justified standard protocol operating procedure to do. That just doesn't right. make
it,
any
sense. It doesn't
sense.
Make sense, but I can already hear what if there are any police officers listening. I can hear what they're saying. Yeah, it's easy for you to say while you sit on your porch, why don't you spend a day in my shoes? Well, I think this, I mean, go read the story. Any reasonable person would see there's no, I'm not saying every time a cop fires a weapon, it's wrong. Certainly there could be times they're acting in self-defense. And of course we could talk about those times and, you know, why they're there to begin with, whether it's drugs or whatever. And if we just ended the war on drugs, the cops wouldn't have to be put in these dangerous situations. We could do all that. But if a cop is being attacked, he can defend himself like any other person can defend himself. This was clearly no reason to think this pizza guy was attacking anyone. He was running away.
Yeah.
But anyway, do you have a free market story this week?
I don't, but I think you said you had one, didn't you?
Yeah, I could have one. It's somewhat of a free market story. So we talk about what would happen with, or just really in general, how people act. Why we're so scared of the market, we're being most people. Obviously, Rallo and I are fascinated by the market. But just this weekend, my daughter was baptized, and so we're at Mass, and one of the altar boys passed out on the altar. And immediately, about 6 to 8 people ran up on the altar to help him. My sister being one of them, who's a nurse, my brother-in-law, who's a physician's assistant, and several others ran up, helped the kid, got him up. He thankfully turned, he was okay. He had a race that morning. Maybe was dehydrated. But they took care of him. But the point is, I hear a lot of times from these status people who want government involved in everything saying that, well, no one will help anyone. And I know, you know, and that's really the point of these stories, is they're little anecdotes, and it doesn't mean that every situation this will happen. And I'm sure you can find examples of someone falling and not no one helping. But I find that more people help more often than not, without being forced, without being required. And those people there luckily didn't have to do any medical procedures on them. But had they done it, I can at least speak for two of them. I don't know about the others, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be hounding this guy every day, telling him that he has to pay them now that they did CPR on him to save his life. Like, people do things because people care about other people. And there's no reason to think that without the government telling you, you have to require services, you have to do these things and do it this way and do this test, that people would take care of each other.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at the way your neighbors, you treat each other as your neighbors. If a tree fell across the driveway of my neighbor's house, I'd go and get my tractor and drag the tree out of the way. It's pretty...
we talked about this in the winter, but every time it snows, it's like an anarchist society. You know, the people can't even use the road. So if you called the police, who knows if they'd even be able to come. Yet we all get along just fine. We all help each other. We all shovel. We all plow. We all have a conversation, maybe drink a beer when we're done shoveling. And we all get along just fine.
Yes,
and that's
we
been
do.
In every neighborhood that I have lived in my life.
Oh, yeah. It's people actually aren't terrible for the most part.
Yeah, and if you think they are,
go outside. Yeah, go outside and start talking to people.
Yeah, you'll find out they're not as bad.
Yeah,
pretty much across the board. I'm sure you can find someone who's just a jerk all the time, but they're very rare.
Yeah, they usually work for the government.
Yeah, exactly. You can find them at the DMV. But so, anyway, that wraps up. Got anything to add?
No, just again, the show notes page is mcflugel.com/40. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as subscribe to our email list. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And
thanks for listening. Yeah. Check out the new design.
Yes.
We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Peace.